Thank you, brother.
If you will, turn to Luke chapter 10. Let me say, while you are turning, it has been a privilege to be here this week. My heart's been stirred afresh and anew. The fine preaching, good preaching, powerful preaching from these men of God that we've had the privilege to sit under. I want to say this to you. Don't you take it for granted. You don't find this everywhere. And you at Liberty Baptist Church, you better hold your pastor's hands up high. Amen. Pray for him. Stand behind him. You don't find men of God of this caliber everywhere. And I want to say this publicly before I read the scripture tonight. Brother Ken, you're my friend. I thank God for God letting our paths cross. And I felt a kindred spirit the first time I met you. And I count it an honor to be here in this place tonight. I look over this congregation, men that I've met over the last few years, just feel knit to you. And it's what a blessing. What a blessing. Pray for us tonight as we finish. The Lord willing, I'm backed in. That means that when I say amen, I'm gone. I've got about a 4.5 hour drive that I'll try to put into 4. And hope to land safely around 1:30 p.m. a.m. But the Lord willing, we'll get something to drink and say a few things before we leave. But you come to hear preaching, and I desire tonight that you pray for us that God will use us. I am so thankful that God has opened the doors and given us the opportunity to uplift our Savior. If you don't remember me, that's fine. But I hope you remember what I preached. The Word of God's the only thing that's going to help us in this hour that we're in. This is probably a real familiar passage of Scripture. In Luke chapter 10, I want to begin reading in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass." God, we could stop there and shout for 50 minutes. That's a favorite phrase of Baptists. It came to pass. I'm glad it didn't come to stay, but it came to pass. "As they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, doth thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" I want to speak to you for a little while tonight on this subject, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I believe if it's ever been a passage of Scripture that needs to be expounded, it's this one that we are looking at tonight in the times that we are in. We are so busy about busyness. So busy about serving that we forget the Savior. Father, we ask you tonight to touch us afresh and anew. We need fresh oil. We pray tonight that you'd open the hearts and the eyes of your people. Stir the children of God, if it be one that's lost and undone without us. Tonight, I pray that you would open their eyes and draw them unto yourself and save them. We thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God that's forever settled in heaven. Seal these truths to our hearts tonight, and when we leave here, may we be better than when we came. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do and the outcome. For it's in Jesus' bloodstained name we do thank you and we do pray. Amen. As we look at this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scripture, it is only recorded by Luke. It's sandwiched between two powerful messages that was delivered by our precious Lord. As a matter of fact, everything our Lord did was powerful. Every message that He presented was powerful. Every word that He spoke was powerful. Because He's an all-powerful God. As we look at these messages, He preached on pure religion and providing the need in Luke chapter 10 and verse 25 through verse 37. And then in Luke chapter 11 verse 1 through 4, His message was one of prayer. And what a lesson we have as He enters into the house of Mary and Martha. And I like the way that our Lord deals with these individuals as He presents this powerful message to us tonight. You'll find in verse 25 that there's a word that looks pretty good to me. It says, "Behold, a certain lawyer."
Yes, sir.
You will look at verse 30 and you find, "And Jesus answering said, a certain man." You will look at verse 33 and you will find, "But a certain Samaritan." You will look at verse 38 and you will find that there is a certain woman. God deals in certain things. When God put certain in front of it, it was an individual that God wants to bring our attention to, and He deals with individuals. He has preached on providing salvation in chapter 10, verse 25 through verse 37, for He is the only one that can provide salvation. He has also preached on praying scripturally in chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, because He tells us in our text that He explains practical service. We need to be saved, and because we are saved, we need to pray to the God of heaven to get our strength, and that's where our practice comes from as we walk day by day with Him. As we look at this tonight, we find that there's three times in the Scripture that Mary is sitting at the feet of the Savior. I will just deal with one of them. We find in Luke chapter 10 and verse 39, she's at His feet at a supper. We find in John chapter 11 verse 32 that she's at His feet at a funeral. We find in John chapter 12 and verse 3, she's at His feet at a banquet. In Luke chapter 10, she's waiting to hear Him speak. In John chapter 11, she's weeping to receive His sympathy. In John chapter 12, she's worshiping to honor her Savior. She is there to hear His word. Before I get to this, let me just briefly mention Martha. Martha is an interesting character. In these verses 38 and verse 40, we find the reaction of Martha to the Savior. In verse 38, it says, "Now it came to pass as they went, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house." She greets Him in the proper way. This word greeting does not mean the same thing that the word greeting that I told you about in James does in chapter 1 of James. This word carries the meaning of just introducing and greeting you with a shake or salute or how do you do, such as that. She greets Him in the proper way. And then in verse 40, you will notice, "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to Him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Here is Martha's great mistake. Before we are too critical of Martha, we need to understand that every one of us here tonight make a great mistake every once in a while when we are talking to God or when we are trying to serve God. What Martha does is she let Him come into her house, but as so many, she hadn't let Him control her heart. She thought it was good enough to have Him in the house. She thought it was good enough for Him to come in, and what a wonderful thing it must have been for the sovereign God of heaven, there in Jesus Christ, our precious Savior, to come and knock on the door and to come into the house. I'm not belittling that. Thank God for Him being in the house. But what a wonderful thing it is when He controls our heart. And so Martha here is seeing some things, or saying some things that she's making a great mistake with. She was distracted or cumbered because of service. Have you ever been distracted or cumbered about because of much service, and you get so wrapped up in the service and so wrapped up in doing that we forget about deity and we forget about our Savior and we forget about why we are doing it? I commend Martha for what she's doing. Boy, she is working, 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 and God knows that's no problem now. The problem comes in when she puts the emphasis on her work and what she's doing other than who she's working for. And so she's cumbered because of service, or distracted. And she is disgruntled because of a servant. Martha becomes disgruntled. Verse 40 tells us, it says here that Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, doth thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" Now she's pointing the finger at Mary and says, "I'm the only one working around here." Mary's sitting at his feet. She's sitting down on the job, and she becomes disgruntled because Mary was doing the right thing. How many times have people in our churches and sitting on our pews and the saints of God become disgruntled at other people that are doing what's right because they think that they're getting too much recognition, or they're not doing enough of this or that? I know that I'm not talking to someone here tonight that's ever let anybody disgruntle you or get you to the place of that. I know that you've never put your eye on somebody else and become disgruntled because of another saint of God. You're much too wise for that. But yet here's this woman that's become disgruntled. And this word "came" is a very interesting word. This word means to come upon suddenly and angrily. This is as close as you can get to anyone in the New Testament ever rebuking our Lord or getting angry with our Lord in this way that she is. And she comes upon Him with an angry voice. And when you are angry and you are disgruntled, you will say things and you will do things that you wouldn't normally do, or you wouldn't do for anything if you want to say. So her reaction is she's distracted and she's disgruntled, and then she was disagreeable because of stubbornness, suddenly and angrily. And then she was distracting the fellowship of her sister. When you got a disgruntled member, when people are disgruntled, it's going to distract. You ought to thank God when you praise God and you shout, have a good time, the glory of God comes down. But you always got that crowd that's going to be disgruntled. You always got that crowd that's going to be distracting. You always got that crowd that's going to take away from the true meaning and the true worship that we have of our blessed Lord and our Savior. And then she was determined to serve. We did her for that. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God she's determined to serve. Every one of us here tonight ought to be determined that we're going to serve the God of heaven. But she had the wrong reaction. Now let me say this to you. When we are too busy in the work of the Lord, we get away from the Lord of the work. And that takes our mind off of what we should have it on, and our heart off of what we should have it on. That's one character in the story. But there's another character in the story. There's the relaxation of Mary. In verse 39 it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." Thank God for the relaxing time that we can get at the Savior's feet. We can sit at the Savior's feet and hear what He has to say to us tonight. She heard His word. She didn't hear what the scribes had to say. She didn't hear what Judaism had to say. She didn't hear what the ritualistic crowd had to say. She heard the words of the blessed Savior. Here she sits at His feet. She is resting. What a place to rest, at the feet of our blessed Lord and Savior. Here she soaks up what He fed. She's refreshed. You can get refreshed here. I know you're tired. I can look over this congregation, see it in your face, and you'd have to be an idiot not to see that. And I know people get tired going and going and going. And I commend you for coming to this place tonight after you've worked hard all day and been out there in the world all day. And you've done things that's normal activities. But yet you set a time aside that you can come and sit at the feet of God's men. So you can sit at the feet of our blessed Lord and soak up what's being said and be fed, that you can be refreshed and revived and go out again. She shows her faithfulness. She's refiring. God knows we need to refire. God knows we need to come to Him and look to Him and do that which brings honor and glory to Him. She is there to hear His word. The only place that you and I will ever learn of the Lord is when we take time to sit at His feet and to hear Him speak. How much rest have you had today sitting at His feet? How much have you been in this book to hear His word? How much time have you put in listening to Him? That's what Mary was doing. She was sitting at His feet to hear Him speak. The most desperate need of us all is to listen to what He has to say. I'm afraid that we've listened to Dr. So-and-so. And this doctor and that doctor and this nurse and that nurse and this one and that one, and we've put all of it together and they've swayed us away from what the Word of God is saying. Many will get in a pulpit tonight, and because of the crowd that they're in, they'll be swayed to go that direction because they don't want to say the truth of God and offend someone. I want to tell you something, brother, and I'm going to tell you something tonight. If the Word of God offends you, you'll just have to be offended. God doesn't have one message for this crowd and another message for the Clover crowd and another message for another crowd. God has one message, and that's to sit at His feet and to listen to what He's got to say. It really doesn't matter what others are saying as long as we're hearing what He's saying. Now she's waiting at His feet to hear Him speak. This tells me something. This tells me that this is a position, first of all, of lowliness. You'll not worship God and you'll not get anything from God until you humble yourself down before Him. She didn't have a hold to His hand. That's good. He had her in His. She wasn't wrapped around His head. Thank God He knew her before the foundation of the world. But she was sitting at His feet, a place and a position of lowliness. The way up is down. The way to increase is decrease. The way to get is to give. That's what this Bible principle teaches us tonight. This place of lowliness was a place of witnessing. When she submitted to Him, it shows us that she submitted to His Lordship. Jesus Christ is Lord. I am sick up to here over this country in different places that I go of hearing people make this statement. You get saved and you can get Jesus Christ as Lord a little later. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It doesn't work that way. Jesus Christ is Lord. Then if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You don't make Jesus Lord, bless God. He's already Lord. You don't get part of God today and a little bit more of Him down the road. You get all of God you're going to get when you get saved. Thanks be unto God. The secret of this thing is God getting more of you. But we've gotten in our churches where we're afraid we're going to lose people. We're afraid that people are not coming in. When this Bible tells me that in the last days they're going to be cold, they're going to be indifferent, they're going to be hard. And I'm telling you, the ones I've saved won't stay anyway. But I found the ones that He saved, He does a pretty good job. It was a place she was submitted to His Lordship, a place of the whole. She'd been made whole by the precious blood of the Lamb. Let me tell you tonight, we're getting in an era when people are leaving out the blood in the preaching. They're leaving out repentance in their preaching. They're leaving out what this Bible says, when God has not changed His way to save men. I'm not here to stir up any controversy, not here to straighten anybody out. But I'm going to tell you, there's nowhere in this Bible that's ever been taught that any man's ever been saved by his own works or his own good. It's always been by the grace of God through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. Mary sitting at his feet because she's been made whole. She's looking towards that cross of what's fixing to come. She knew about the sacrifice that he was going to be. He was going to shed his blood. Thank God. And she said, I know you and I want to worship you and I'm going to listen to what you've got to say. It's a place of being made whole. It's a place of the wise. Anybody that sits at the feet of Jesus Christ is wise. Boy, Mary was the wise one of that house that day. You're the wise one when you sit at the feet of a man of God, when he opens the scripture and presents to you Jesus Christ and presents to you the word of God. You're the wise one. And then we find not only that, but thank God because she was wise, she worshiped him. Our problem is that we don't sit long enough at his feet to hear him speak so we can grow. We're living in an instant society. We want everything done instantly. You're not going to grow instantly. You're going to have to go through some things to grow. And you're going to have to sit and listen to grow. And you're going to have to sit at the feet of the Savior to grow, to get the Word of God. Oh, we see here that her position was one of lowliness, but her privilege was one of learning. To hear His words, the book says. She was not there to get anybody's attention. She was not there for show. She was not there to keep people off of her. She was there for one reason, the reason you ought to be here, to hear His Word. Let's consider the teacher. This was no ordinary teacher. Better when you sat at His feet, you were sitting at someone who talks the truth. You're saying that someone that every time he opens his mouth, his truth comes out of it. You're saying that does not waste words and he does not have to make up words. Everything he says has a meaning to it and is substance to it. So we consider the teacher who this man Jesus is. What a privilege to hear him, to sit at his feet. What an hour. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 says, in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What a master and what a Lord. Jesus said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh, John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is the one that Mary sat under the feet of, beside the feet of, around the feet of, at the feet of. Any way you want to say it, she's humbled herself and positioned herself, and she's down, and she's listening to the Lamb of God. She's listening to the atoning, the abiding, the acceptable, almighty Lamb. She is listening to the bleeding, beautiful, becoming blessed Lamb. She is listening to the covering and the calling and the changeless Lamb. She's listening to Him deliberately and the devoted one and the dependable Lamb. She's listening to the eternal Lamb. She's listening to the essential Lamb. And she's listening to the exceptional Lamb. She is listening to the faithful Lamb, the fulfilling Lamb. She is listening to the glorious Lamb, the graceful Lamb, and the guiltless Lamb. She is listening to the holy Lamb, the harmless Lamb, the healing Lamb, and the helping Lamb. She is listening to the justifying One, the infinite One, the kind One, the loving One, the majestic One, the never-ending One. She's listening to the right One. She is listening to the omnipotent One, the omniscient One, and the only Lamb of God. I'm glad that the book of Exodus talks about a Lamb. That's what He is to the world. I'm glad He talks about the Lamb. That's what He is specifically. But thank God, I'm glad when He says your Lamb and it becomes my Lamb, which is a personal Lamb, that He's my Lamb tonight that I look to. He's the powerful Lamb. The pure Lamb, the perfect Lamb. He's the qualifying Lamb, the quickening Lamb, and thank God He is the quiet Lamb. Led before a slaughter, as a slaughter before sheep before shearers, yet He opened not His mouth. He is the sovereign Lamb, the sinless Lamb, the spotless Lamb, and the saving Lamb, the redeeming Lamb, the unlimited Lamb, the victorious Lamb. And we could go on and on and on because He is. That's the Savior that Mary is listening to. When He begins to speak, I do not know, I do not have a clue of what His message was to Mary. Nobody else does. But it was worth listening to because never man spake like this man. Mary never speaks in this passage of Scripture. Mary never says a word in this passage of Scripture. Mary is silent and Mary is waiting at the darling Lamb, Son of God's feet, because she wants to hear what He has to say. You and I tonight need to wait at His feet so we can hear what He has to say. Our problem is that we don't stay long enough to hear what God has to say. We come tonight, as I said, back in, ready to leave when the amen is said. But we see not only her position, her privilege was one of learning, as we consider this teacher, but consider His teaching. The teacher is one thing, but what He teaches is something else. You consider the master in which He taught, it was a sympathetic teaching. I'm glad tonight that I have someone that's sympathetic with me. I'm glad I have one tonight that he bears witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. We are told in Luke 4:22, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? But thank God the gracious words that come from our blessed Savior's mouth, how they help us in a time of need. How they help us when we need to hear from the God of heaven. It was not only a sympathetic manner, but it was a swayful manner. Matthew 7:29 says He taught them as one having authority and not as scribes. I want to tell you tonight, this is the authoritative Word of God. We don't have to get anybody else's authority. We stand on what the book says, and if God said it, it's settled. It used to be a little saying that went over the place years back that I did not like it, I hated it, and I hate to hear it tonight. The saying was, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. I'm going to tell you something, friend. It makes no difference whether you believe it or not. If God said it, it's settled. If God has said it, it is once and for all settled. Swayful, He taught them as one having authority. It was stoutful, He taught with boldness. How Lord spoke the word of God and said unto them, the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ, for He speaketh boldly, John chapter 7 says. He speaks with authority, speaks boldly. Then He was one of strength. Now they were astonished at His doctrine, for His word was with power. Boy, that's powerful words that come from our Savior. Everybody else can try to get you saved. Everybody else can talk you into one thing or another. They can try to do what they want. But the blessed Holy Ghost, thank God, one word from Him. The power of God operating in Him. He'll open it up to you and He'll show it to you and do what no one else can do. It's a powerful word that He spoke. So when she's sitting at His feet to hear Him speak, He was speaking sympathetically. He was speaking swayfully and stoutfully and with strength. But He was speaking supernaturally. This was no ordinary man. This was God in flesh. This was the God of heaven. The officers answered in John 7:46 and said, never man spake like this man. For Lord God, this man speaks and the dead are raised. This man speaks and eyes that are blinded are open. This man speaks and the lepers are cleansed. This man speaks to demons and they have to be gone. This man speaks and diseases are healed. I say to you, never man spake like this man. So Mary was in a position that was lowly, but she was in a position, thank God, that God was speaking to her heart and that would help her. That's the manner of His teaching. Now, what was the message of His teaching? Like I said, I don't know what He said to Mary, but comparing what He said in other passages of Scripture, I'm sure it was pretty close to what He was teaching and what He was talking. The message of His teaching, many have the right manner, but the wrong message. The message of Jesus was to one of the revelation of the Father. John chapter 1 and verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Philip saith in John 14 verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how saith thou then, Show us the Father? Luke 10:22, All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. If you see, somebody says, what's God look like, Jesus? All of God you will ever see will be wrapped up in the body of Jesus Christ. He says, you've seen me, you've seen God. Why? Because He is God. He didn't become God, friend. He always has been God. He didn't become just Savior. He always has been. He didn't come just prophet, thank God. He always has been. He didn't become just a priest. He always has been. He didn't become just king. He always has been. You say, can you prove that? I can. The Bible says Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. We're in trouble if it's ever been a time that He's not our priest. I'm glad, glory to God, I've got a priest sitting yonder in glory that goes to God on my behalf. He's the mediator through the precious blood. Thanks be unto God. God looks at me and doesn't see what I am. He sees me in the blessed Son of God. We don't have to go to somebody dressed like Mama. He wants to be called Papa. Thank God we come to the blessed God of heaven. You can pray anytime you want to, anywhere you want to. You've got a direct line into heaven. Thank God it's a blood-washed crown. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that gets us there. But He also preached the redemption for the fallen. Every one of us here tonight ought to thank God He stopped over at our place. I don't go around trying to figure out who's His and who's not. Thank God I preach it all to the whole crowd. The Holy Ghost stabs them, that's His business. I'm just glad, glory to God, that He stabbed me one night. I'm glad, thank God, that He done a work in my heart that no one else could do. I'm thankful, hallelujah, that the liquor bottle had to go and the beer cans had to go and all the drunkenness had to go when the Holy Ghost stopped. He pulled over and He never pulled out. That's the message that our Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. Came to seek out and to save him that need redeeming. You'll never get saved until you see your need for the Savior. You'll never get saved until you see that you are a hell-bound sinner. That you deserve to go to hell and you deserve everything that's wrong and you deserve everything you're up against. And that pure grace of God comes in and arrests, that Holy Ghost arrests you. And that grace of God is applied to your heart. Thanks be unto God not giving you what you deserve. Mercy sneaks in and says, I'm not going to give them what they deserve. But thanks be unto God, I'm going to give them what they don't deserve. We don't deserve it. It's all Him. And then His message was to return for the flock. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Titus 2:11, so the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If we are in the flock, you will be leaving the wrong. Titus 2:11. Enjoying the grace of God. If you are in the flock, you will be loving the right. Titus 2:12. Engaging in direct guidance from Him. You will be looking for the Redeemer. Verse 13, expecting glory. I was preaching last Sunday morning in my church. I was talking about the Savior coming. God got that thing real to me. And boy, I saw him before the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. I went back to the back door. Up inside my pulpit, I opened that door, run out there in the parking lot and looked up. I said, glory be unto God. They said, what are you doing, preacher? I said, I'm looking for the cloud. Thank God, I'm looking for the cloud. You said, I ain't looking for no cloud. I'm looking for the Christ. That's so too, but the book says it's coming on a cloud. He's going to return for the flock. So His message better be our message. If you're sitting at the feet of Jesus, it'll be your message. You'll be revealing the Father. Redeeming the fallen. and returning for the flock. That's the message that he tells us to give. If we believe that, we'll be leaving this world. The day that God saved me, I start leaving the world. Oh, yes. It used to be that God was way out yonder. I mean, way out yonder in my walk and what I could see about Him and all I knew about Him. I didn't even know John 3:16 was in the Gospel of John when God saved me. I didn't know there's 66 books of the Bible. I didn't know there's 400 silent years between the Old and New Testament. I didn't know God used 1,500 years with 40 different men, 3 different languages to give us a book. I didn't have any clue of what was going on. I did know this. I was blind, but now I see. I do know this. Thank God He changed my heart. He put something in me that no one else could do. I start leaving the world. I had free. I was wild. I was wild as a buck. I mean, unto God, I wouldn't even begin to get into this stuff. I'm not talking about living in a lifestyle that's perverted and stuff, but I'm talking about just open sin, drunk, and all the stuff that went around with it. And I'm gonna tell you something tonight. When I got saved, they thought the devil had gotten saved. One of the things that was a question mark in the back of my mind was, what about my friends? What about the crowd I run with? What about the crowd I run with? I was worried about and worrying about things like 90% of stuff we worry about never happens. I was worried about how I was going to tell them. I didn't have to tell them. I didn't have to leave them. They saw it and they left me. Funny thing, they never did say anything about how crazy I was when I was a drunk and going to all this stuff and carrying on racing up down the highway and doing all this stuff and everything under God's heaven. They didn't talk about me being crazy then. But buddy, when you get Christ Jesus in your heart, God turns you around and God blood washes you and you become a new creature in Christ and you begin to leave that crowd. They talk about you being crazy. I started leaving the world. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And the more I walk with God, the more He matures me. And the more I practice this Christianity, and the closer I get to Him, the bigger He gets. Where He used to be way out yonder, now thank God I'm at His feet. Now I see Him. The world's getting further and further behind. He's getting closer and closer and conforming us unto it, His image. We're learning to walk and we're loving to worship. So her position is one of lowliness. Her privilege is one of learning. But her, now see her loving. Her pleasure was one of loving. Look at verse 42. Verse 42, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Yes, sir. One thing is needful, and she's chosen that good part. That word chosen in verse 10, chapter 10, verse 42 means to choose for oneself out of the kindness of love. Praise God. I'm here tonight. Because I choose to be. I love Him tonight because I choose to love Him. Now I know He done the work and you don't have to meet with me and straighten me out after search service and all this stuff. I know salvation's of the Lord and I know God loved me first so I could love Him. But He asked Peter, loveth thou me? Loveth thou me? Loveth thou me? Oh yeah. And when I love Him, I'm going to follow Him and sit at His feet and I'm going to do what I do for Him because I desire to please Him. Her privilege and her pleasure was to love her Lord. It's an honor and a privilege to sit at His feet. She loved Him, she listened to Him, and she learned from Him. What a lesson we can learn from this woman. God help us to be more like her and realize our position, recognize our privilege, and resound our pleasure.
Oh, yes.
We see her sitting at his feet and listening. She's waiting to hear him speak. The second time, she fell down at his feet, showing her wisdom. But this time, she's saying, instead of listening, she's talking to him as her priest in chapter 11, verse 32. He's not only my prophet, he's my priest. And in John chapter 12, she's bowing at his feet as her king. He's prophet, priest, and king. We've looked a little bit at Mary. We've talked a little bit about Martha. But now, let me conclude with a few words about the Master. In verse 31, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha." This would do well for you to go through your Bible and see the 10 times that this double saying is said. It's one thing when God calls your name one time. It's quite another when He says it twice right together. Genesis chapter 22, Abraham, Abraham. Genesis 46, Jacob, Jacob. Exodus 3, Moses, Moses. 1 Samuel 3, Samuel, Samuel. Luke 6, "Why calleth me Lord, Lord?" Luke 10, "Martha, Martha." She's in some pretty good company, isn't she? Luke 22, "Simon, Simon." Matthew 23, Luke 13, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem," Jesus says. Matthew 27, "Eli, Eli." And then Acts 9, 4, "Saul, Saul." Our Lord here gives some comments to Martha. Do well to listen. I'll be done in just a moment. And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful," that's worried. "You're worried to death. You're letting worry rule you." No wonder He called her name twice. But it goes a little further. "Why are you worried and troubled?" That word means you are disturbed. You're agitated. You're in turmoil. You're stirred up. You're ruffled. She's in a bad shape. But yet she's working. Yet she's serving. Yet she's faithful. She's got it together. Outwardly. Someone would look at her and say, "My, my, my, what a worker. My, 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 what a child of God. My, 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 what a saint." But on the inside, she was tore out of her frame. Now, she's not fooling the Master. She may be fooling that crowd around her. She may be fooling the household. She may be fooling the preacher. She may be fooling everybody. But she's not fooling the divine Son of God. Because He knows all. It's a big controversy about old Nicodemus, about why he got saved. I tell you why he got saved. He was troubled. John chapter 2 says that Jesus, knowing what was in his heart, knowing what was in man, knowing what he was thinking, Jesus, that Nicodemus just didn't come knocking on the door because he felt it was the right thing to do. He was troubled. America can get some help. I mean, Martha can get some help here if she'll let jealousy get out of the way. If Martha wasn't so worried about what people were going to say about her and start worried about what the other saints was doing. What about Mary? She wasn't worried about all that. Martha could have got just as much help as Mary did. I don't find anywhere Jesus rebuked her for not sitting at his feet. But she could have sat at his feet. But she'd rather stand. She could have humbled herself and lowered herself, but she'd rather stand upright. Because after all, she's busy. Jesus said, Martha, you prepared a meal, but Mary's preparing her heart. Martha, you're trying, but Mary's trusting. Martha, you're busy, but Mary's blessed. Martha, you're feeding, but Mary's being fed. You're entertaining, but Mary's enjoying. You are distracted, but Mary's devoted. You are condemning, but Mary's concerned. You are doing my work, Mary's doing my will. You are wandering, but Mary's worshiping. You are frustrated. Mary's fruitful. You're grudging, but Mary's growing. You see me as a burden. Mary sees me as a blessing. You sense my person, but Mary senses my presence. You are restless, but Mary is reposed. We could go on and on and on. In verse 42, but one thing is needful. Now some say that what he's saying is you don't need but one meal. You don't need but one thing. If you don't have to go through all this extra trouble and all that stuff. I don't think that's the case. I think what our Lord is saying, what he's saying here, one thing is needful. You need to be worshiping me when I'm here and when I show up. You can do all this other stuff and you can work and do all this other stuff when I'm not here. You better seize the moment when God breathes on you. You better thank God that when God stops over at your place, when He blows under this tabernacle, when He blows over in that pulpit, or when He comes in and God captivates you and God exposes Himself and reveals Himself and God manifests His glory. You better bask in that and seize the moment. Because it don't happen all the time. The needful thing is this. Communion. Remember, he's speaking. She's listening. And that's the best thing that a child of God can do is when he speaks, is to listen. The never forgotten truth. You'll never forget his fellowship and regret his fellowship. We need workers like Martha, but worshipers like Mary. How many of us get so caught up in his service and doing what he wants us to do that we miss him? I don't know about you, but the bottom line of this meeting and any other meeting is that we worship Him. And it's not necessarily when people are doing cartwheels and people are shouting all over the place, and I don't condemn that, I condone it. I get right in there with them. When I was younger, I've done a whole lot more running than I do now. I don't condemn that. But somehow we've gotten in a reversed order. And we think God has not shown up. And we think God is not doing anything if people are not hanging from the chandeliers and running around the tabernacle and shouting it up and standing up. And I've used this term and you use that, and I'm sure it's been used. Boy, God was in that place. And we use that terminology and we say that because there's so much shouting going on. What about the time when God sweeps in? Now, you take this what it's worth. My study of this book has shown me the closer I get to God doesn't make me shout. It makes me weep. And again, I'm not condemning shouting. I fan it. But what about the still, small voice and the quietness of the hour that we need to set at His feet and soak up what He's saying? Then when we get full of that, let it get out. Shout it from the housetop. But let God speak to our heart. I hope tonight that I've said something to help someone. I felt a tug to go two or three different directions, and this is what I feel like God wanted me to do. We need to set at His feet and listen to what He has to say.